Bystander CPR works in Denmark, acute care clinics and nurse practitioners, joint health and social services care in the UK, and will visit with online nurse YouTube host, Empower RN author Caroline Porter Thomas. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day and welcome to this episode of The Nursing Show. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, and I really am excited about this week's episode. We've got a great show for you coming up this week, and there's some great, interesting news items that I think you'll be interested in checking out. First off, we're going to be looking at how nurse practitioners in acute care clinics in large pharmacy chains are driving primary care change. Then, in this week's special interview segment, I bring you a chat with one of our online nurse leaders and authors, Caroline Porter Thomas, from the Empower RN web series and site. That's all coming up after this week's nursing news items. Before we jump into all of that, though, I do want to remind you that I'd like you to follow up on all of the information in this episode. Please take a moment to visit nursingshow.com. Click the link there for show notes at the top of the page, and that'll take you right to the most recent episode. When you're there, you can scroll down and find all of the previous episodes. All of that's available for you over there. Please follow up on the links for the news and the tip items and the episodes each week so that you can understand how to apply what you hear in the show and watch in the show to your own nursing practice. And all of that's over there for you at nursingshow.com. So make sure you take advantage of that information. If you want to get back in touch with me, I hope you'll do so. You can reach me by sending in emails to nursingshow@gmail.com. I love to hear from you. I look forward to hearing from you, and I do make sure I respond back to every email that comes in. So make sure you're sending me things like links to news items you'd like me to cover, interview suggestions with people like Caroline or other people you know. Whatever the case may be, please keep those emails coming, and I'll keep getting back to you and bringing great content to you here on The Nursing Show. That's it. I'll have some more contact information coming up later on in this episode, and I want you all to also check out the brand new Nursing Show Weekly app in the iOS and Android app stores. It's there for you and to use on your favorite mobile device. Each episode comes out there each week, and there are extra weekly extras that come out with each episode. So it's all there, and it's all free. So check it out in your device's store under Nursing Show Weekly, or you can click the links that right there at the top of the page at nursingshow.com. Kicking off the news this week is a big surprise statement that early bystander CPR actually improves patient outcomes for out-of-hospital cardiac arrest. Wait a minute, isn't that what our CPR classes have been teaching us all these years? Well, in a continued effort to back up our advanced cardiac care guidelines with hard science, researchers around the world are continuing to back up our current standard of care with studies that firm up our understanding of what works and what doesn't work with sudden cardiac arrest survival. Now, 10 years ago, Denmark, like the rest of us, had low frequency of bystander CPR, less than 20%, and in evidence from that, low cardiac arrest survival rates, less than 6%. They enacted sweeping efforts to change this by encouraging bystander CPR. They trained the public, they got out in public places and improved medical response, and all of those things to sudden cardiac arrest made a change. The first study to look at the past 10 years of those efforts saw that there were huge improvements. They correlate with better patient survival rates. Bystander CPR rates are now at an astounding 44.9%, and long-term survival rates past the first year of 10.2%, and that's an increase up from 2.9% before the study. That's three times a greater survival rate. I think that I need to have my cardiac arrest in Denmark. What do you think? So, what does it mean for you, the nurse on the street? Well, I think it forces us to pay more attention to efforts to improve bystander CPR rates in our own communities, which are almost all still well below 20%. We need to work with our facilities to teach hands-only CPR, which can be done in just a few minutes or via videos online. You can do that in the lobby at the hospital. The Las Vegas Fire Department recently trained over 1,000 people hands-only CPR in a single afternoon. What can you and your colleagues do? This study isn't really such a surprise to us, to those of us in healthcare that follow these things, but I think it does encourage us that we can do more in our communities to improve access to quality cardiac care, including bystander CPR for sudden cardiac arrest. Next up, I bring you an older article, but it's new to me, and I thought it might be new to you as well, and I thought it was a good idea to share with you. Last spring, a family practice physician wrote a glowing recommendation that more states should be allowing nurse practitioners to operate completely independently in a primary care role. Now, she highlights the growing collection of pharmacy-based clinics that offer primary care via nurse practitioners and offers a great explanation of the arc of a nurse practitioner's education and path to DNP. Anna Reisman is a family doctor in Vermont and is clearly a proponent of advanced practice nurses filling the gap in primary care we currently continue to see. I urge you to read this article for yourselves and see if you can take some steps to improve the ability of nurses to operate to the fullest extent of our training and education. You can do that in your state, and if you aren't already doing so, you need to get out and be more active. Currently, 18 states and the District of Columbia allow nurse practitioners to operate independently of physician oversight. The remaining 32 states are holding back advanced practice nurses and are substantially hindering the availability of affordable, high-quality health care to a larger group of their patients. Now, understand, this has nothing to do with the current political arguments about the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. It really doesn't have anything to do with that. It's just about providing access to a whole new group of healthcare practitioners for the public and give them the ability to have access to improved health, improved availability of healthcare, and probably save some money in the pocketbooks of those patients. So get involved. Know what nursing bills are being proposed in your state and get behind increased scope of practice for your nurse practitioners and your nurse practice acts wherever you are. I hope you'll do that. I hope you can promote it. And if you do something like that or have something like that going on in your state, make sure you let me know here so I can promote it on The Nursing Show. In the face of increased need for patient care and post-hospitalization follow-up here in the U.S., I close out the news this week with a look at a new program in the U.K. that is focused on doing the same thing. Providing better follow-up care and preventing hospital readmission, well, it's just good health care. It just makes sense. The Hounslow and Richmond Community Healthcare Program that includes public health and home care nurses, as well as therapists and social workers from the local social services agency, got together and they hope to be able to catch people who fall through the cracks in their healthcare system by providing available resources, care, and referrals to primary care doctors and clinics, rather than leaving them to head down a path that's going to take them back to the hospital and then be readmitted. Now, we know from numerous studies that post-discharge follow-up by a nurse leads to fewer readmissions. This includes something as simple as a phone call to follow up. There's no reason we can't enact programs like this in our communities as well, and within our facilities. Many facilities aren't yet implementing such follow-up calls because, well, they aren't billable. While I think that they ultimately will save money based on reduced readmission penalties, I also believe they make great customer service sense. I recently went to a local urgent care clinic on the weekend when I had some back pain, and a few days later, a nurse called me to follow up on my problem. Did they call me to just check on me because they were simply worried about whether my back pain had gotten better and or was it worse? No, they called because that additional contact with the patient to follow up and answer questions ensures that I'll be more likely to use their services on the next weekend I need non-emergency care and my doctor's not available. I'm sure you have an opinion about this and some of the other items in the news this week, so don't be shy. Share with me your comments and your suggestions or thoughts, or send me a link to a news item you'd like me to cover. Shoot me an email to nursingshow@gmail.com. Share your ideas with me and the rest of the Nursing Show audience, and we can get these things out there in a discussion. Last week, I got the chance to chat online with nurse, author, and YouTube video host Caroline Porter Thomas. She runs the Empower RN site and video series online, as well as authoring several books for new and student nurses. Caroline and I, well, we chatted about challenges new nurses face and some of the things that people are thinking about when they enter the workplace, how existing nurses treat new nurses, and how the new nurses can overcome some of these challenges. So check out our discussion that's coming right up here next. So Caroline, welcome to the Nursing Show.
Thank you so much for having me. This is such a pleasure.
Well, this is fun. I love finding nurses that are leading things out on the web in different ways and helping advance the nursing profession. And, you know, when I discovered what you were doing through Twitter and YouTube and everything, I just really wanted to connect with you. And I'm so glad you were making some time to come on the show and chat with the Nursing Show audience for a little while.
Yeah, I'm just honored to be here, really. So I have a lot of fun doing what I'm doing and just sharing it in this way is just even more fun. So thank you again for having me.
So let's start off by telling people a little bit about why you wanted to become a nurse and your path through school, you know, how you went to school. Were you in a BSN or an ADN program, that kind of thing, and how you started off in your initial career?
Sure. I started off wanting to be a nurse because I just liked people. It was simple as that. And at the time, I was a waitress, and I kind of was like, well, I love the fast pace of being a waitress. I love the service aspect of it. I love making people feel better. And I was like, well, maybe just being a nurse is kind of like being a waitress, only I'll be giving drugs, kind of, in a way. And I'll be doing it in maybe a little bit more respected way. And I always, you know, kind of knew I wanted to go to college. So I was like, well, let me just try. Now, had I known how hard nursing was, I probably would have thought a little bit harder and longer about it. Because for me to graduate nursing school and to even get accepted to nursing school was really a miracle. Like I prior to doing nursing school, had no experience in school, literally. Like I was actually told by my eighth grade, the counselor, that they thought I was learning disabled. And I was actually held back in eighth grade. And in high school, there was not one summer that I had a free summer. I had to go to summer school every year. So it's like being academically, like, you know, successful was not in my scope of practice. So I just had no idea. Like, even when I started to go back to college, I had to take remedial classes, like, to get myself up to the college level. So what I learned was that I had to study a different way. I had to physically engage my body. I had to, you know, stay in, like, I called it like my bubble, and I just had to like put, you know, quotes all over the place that said that, you know, I can believe in myself, I can do it. And anyways, I ended up starting nursing school with a 3.7 GPA, and then I graduated also with honors. So it was really just, you know, like I said, it was just a miracle to me that I was able to do that. So
that's amazing, because I think that just the correlation you put in the beginning about waitressing and nursing as two service type jobs, you know, one maybe, and some nurses might be offended by that, but I don't think so. I think that it actually is one that I've never heard before, but actually makes a lot of sense to me. And that's amazing that you said that. And I ask nurses this question every time I interview them, and you're the first person to say that, you know, your waitressing background gave you the impetus to say, I might want to become a nurse. And then the story of all that you persevered through to get into nursing school and get through nursing school, kudos. That's amazing.
What's even more funny was when I started college, after I took my remedial classes, I sat down with my counselor, and I was kind of whining to him. I was like, you know, all the anatomy, physiology, one classes are full. You know, I can't take a class this semester. And I should have known something was up, but he looked for 1 second, and he was like, no, I found a class Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 2 to, you know, whatever. And he was like, do you want me to sign you up? And I was like, yes, of course. Like, I was so excited. And then when I was about a week before class, I was planning my, my schedule. And then I looked, and my heart, like, literally skipped a beat. And he signed me up for anatomy physiology, too. So I was like, what do I do? Do I go and tell them? Obviously, you know, I'm not confident enough to take this class, so they'll just take me out and I have to waste an entire semester. So, yeah, I had a lot of challenges in college and, you know, anyways, I ended up doing really well. It didn't start out well, but eventually it did. It, you know, worked out, and just using my study techniques, you know, it was amazing.
That's how I started doing these shows, really. I started, you know, back when I was learning to be a paramedic, I learned very well by repeating things to myself out loud. And I thought, like, well, maybe somebody else would be interested in some of the things I'm learning myself and keeping my knowledge fresh when I was going through my refresher training and things like that as a paramedic and then into nursing school. So I started these shows because I was already kind of doing this kind of thing where I was talking about things I was learning and things that I thought were interesting and studies and research and things. And it's interesting that you found similar experiences and ways to share what you do.
Yeah. I get a lot of joy out of sharing things that worked with me, with future nursing students and now new nurses. And actually I get a lot of emails from nurses that have been nurses for a really long time that may have just kind of, you know, lost their passion. So I get a lot of joy out of it.
So how did you start off after nursing school? Did you go right into med-surg or what was your career path like to where you are today?
Yeah, I did. I really had no idea. Like, I knew a lot of classmates that said, I want to work in the NICU or I want to work with pediatrics. And I knew that I kind of wanted to work with adults, but I really like adults that can talk back to me. So I was like, well, maybe ICU isn't really for me. And I didn't really know exactly where. So I was like, let me just try med-surg. You know, who knows? So I ended up starting on a tele-med-surg floor, and it was at a small hospital that was really close to me. It was called Central Carolina Hospital, and just fell in love with it. And, you know, I really didn't know if I was going to like nursing as much as I did, but I just ended up really loving it. And it was just like that whole service mentality and just, you know, really just making people's days. It just, I lived for that. So yeah, I started a med-surg. It was a tele-med-surg floor. So worked there for 2 years. I probably would still be there today if my husband didn't steal me away, but but that's okay. I like South Florida now, so.
And now you're working as a PRN nurse?
Yes, I work per diem, yes.
Yeah, great. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things you're doing online. You've got your YouTube channel, EmpowerRN, which is amazing. Your little videos about different things that you're excited about tips for nursing. What spurred you to go in and start doing that?
Well, I really wanted to connect with people. I really felt like I had a lot to offer future nursing students. Was my initial inspiration to start it. And I really did not like social media. It was hard for me to understand them. Like Twitter, I still have kind of a hard time connecting with people on it. But then when I saw YouTube, I was like, wow, that's really cool. And, you know, just to make a video, and it's kind of like a presentation, and I could just share some tips. And maybe, you know, maybe people will like it, maybe not. And, you know, just one thing led to another, and you know, I put up some videos and it was scary. It was really, really scary. You know, the first video you put up, you're like, hi, everybody. And you're like, you don't know if anybody's there. And so just kind of pushing myself to keep going and just, you know, listening to myself and really feeling like it was the right thing. And just one, you know, one step leads to another step. And then I started to get a lot of emails from people and people started subscribing and people started, you know, saying, hey, can you do a video about this? Or, hey, can you do a video about that? So, you know, just now I do a lot of video requests. Actually, most of my videos are video requests, and which helps me stay up to date as to what's going on with nursing students or new nurses. And, you know, I just have a lot of fun doing it. I spend probably 2 to 3 hours every day answering emails and responding to comments. And but it's I wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, you know, sometimes when I'm at work, I'm, you know, not on my cell phone, because I would, but, you know, when you're at work, like, you just, you know, browse through your emails, and, you know, some of the emails that I get, I'm like, how did I get this life? Like, this is just, it's priceless to me. So, you know, I'm just having a lot of fun. So,
I feel the same way. I'm so grateful for the people that take the time to watch and listen to my show, and then that they get something out of it and are positive and they send me great comments and suggestions for future episodes and things like that. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's very gratifying and uplifting to know that you're making an impact and helping people do better at their job. And because they're better nurses or better nursing students, there are better patient outcomes happening because of it.
And that's really my whole goal, is just to inspire nursing students and nurses to go after their dreams, to do their best, to really push themselves to be better, and to also avoid things that are going to make them not be the best person that they can be, because there's a lot of that, I feel like. So there's a lot of negativity, I feel like, in the nursing profession, and it doesn't have to be that way. But, you know, we have a choice every day as to whether we want to engage in positive things that are happening or negative things. And so my goal is just to inspire people to focus on the positive, because there's a lot of it.
Now you have two books. The first book, it was about helping nursing students get through nursing school. But the book I'm most interested and intrigued about is the book you wrote that is aimed at the new graduate nurse, helping them to get the most success and enjoyment out of their first job.
Yes. Actually, it's funny because I think as a writer, the first book that you write, your hand is just shaking. I mean, obviously we're typing, but your hand is just shaking. You don't really know if your ideas are valuable to anybody else. And, you know, the first book took me like almost 3 years to complete, because I have about almost 50 different people in the book, because I didn't really trust my own voice. You know, I really just had no idea if my ideas and concepts were going to be, you know, valuable to anybody. And so what's really special about the second book was, you know, I was like, okay, I know what I say matters to some people, not everybody, but to some people it really matters. And I'm just going to really trust and just let it all out. You know, like, I really want people to know that the way they feel as a new nurse is completely normal, because I walked in not knowing anything and just being completely nervous. Like, I think I talk about the first medication that I gave in the book. Well, I mean, I know I do. It was Tylenol. And my preceptor was like, you can give this. And I was like, I don't know. She's like, do it. You know, like, she has to, like, literally force me to do it. And it was Tylenol. And I was just so nervous about everything. And I just want people to know, like, their nerves are normal. Like, you will get over it. It'll get better. Like, I mean, it's definitely a job that gets better with time. And it gets so much better with time. Because, like, you know, I remember it took about 8 months. Like, at the 8-month mark, I remember specifically walking down the hallway and just saying to myself, okay, like, it's a lot better now. You know, like, I have confidence to know when I need to ask for help, which thankfully in a hospital setting is always there. And I have confidence to know, you know, I can look at a patient and know if I need to be worried or not. And to me, that was just, it really was a revelation to me. So, and yeah, so there's just a lot of love in this book, and I hope that people can feel that.
Well, we're going to have links to both books in the show notes for this episode. I'll make sure I get them out there so they can pick them up. They're available on Amazon. They can look up, it's Caroline Porter Thomas, correct?
Yes.
So they can look you up by your name and find those books directly that way, or they can go ahead and go to nursingshow.com in the show notes for this episode and follow up on those links. And of course, you know, check out the YouTube channel. It's Mpower, and then the R in Mpower is RN. So it's Mpower RN altogether.
If people ever have a video request, you know, just let me know. That's pretty much what I do. I'm thinking maybe next year to have a little bit more organized, maybe do more videos and do, you know, Monday this, Tuesday that, or something like that. But it's really based all on video requests. So the more requests I get in, the more tailored to everybody's needs it can be.
Well, I'll give you a video request. Maybe find some other nurse podcasts and shows like this out there, and give a list of your top five favorites or something like that. That's always a great list, a great thing to see, and I always like to use that as a way for me to find new content, whether it's your top favorite nursing blogs or nursing sites or...
There's so many of them.
Yeah, I would love to see something like that because I always love to know what other nurses are using and finding out there on the web.
Cool. All right. I'll have it written down.
Well, Caroline, I want to thank you. It's a Saturday. I don't want to take too much time away from your day. And thank you for coming on the nursing show and doing this interview. It's great to chat with you.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for watching.
And that's going to close out this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I want to thank all of you for checking out the program this week and urge you again to make sure you follow up on all of the information you got in this week's episode or any of the episodes by heading over to nursingshow.com. When you get over there, you can check out the show notes link at the top of the page. And when you get in there, you'll see listings for all of the episodes of The Nursing Show from the most recent one all the way back to the very first episode, if you have the desire to check that out. Get the full information there so you can understand how to apply what you hear on the show to your own nursing practice or studies. That's really important so you can take it further. If you want to get back in touch with me, I hope you do so. Go ahead and shoot me an email to nursingshow@gmail.com. I make sure I respond back to every email that comes in, and I want to hear from you. So you can send me your comments, your questions, your suggestions, or news links, and help support the Nursing Show community with your input and ideas. I really look forward to getting those things. You can also get the Nursing Show email newsletter if you want. Just check out the link in the little form on the right-hand side of the nursingshow.com site. When you fill out that form, you can actually get the show notes and links sent to you directly in email every single week, so you can check that out if you want. You can also connect with me on social media sites under the handle PodMedic. You can find me at twitter.com/PodMedic or facebook.com/PodMedic, so make sure you friend or follow me over on those sites. And just remember, you can also become a member of the Facebook fan community for The Nursing Show over at facebook.com/nursingshow. Just click the like button right there at the top of the page, and I hope you'll join the conversation there as well. I post other nursing and healthcare articles, pictures, updates, and links there each week, and you can check all of that out over there. Well, that's it for me. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. I'll be back soon with more episodes from The Nursing Show, coming out here every Friday for you to wrap up your week. In the meantime, please remember to stay safe and stay tuned here to The Nursing Show. Take care.